Welcome to the City Life Podcast. I'm Tim Woody, the pastor of City Life Church in downtown Fort Worth. There is purpose for your life. There's a destiny you have yet to walk into, and there is hope regardless of what you're facing today. I encourage you to open your heart now to what God will be speaking to you over these next few minutes.
Thank you so much, John, Cynthia. Good to see you guys today. Welcome to the online community. Thank you for joining us as well. And I encourage you to get your Bibles out, get some notes out, follow along with today's message and all the stuff that's about to happen. So to get us started, I want you to find two locations in your Bible. One is going to be the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, and then you're going to start with that last verse, verse 17. And then I also want you to back several chapters or several books in the Bible around the middle of the Bible. Go to Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. And we're going to look at both of those passages today in a few moments. So we'll leave that up there for a second so that you can find those two locations before I begin preaching. Hey, I want to tell you about something. After I'm finished with the series on Jonah, I'm going to be doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and I need your help. Our elders have already started helping put things together with me by answering some questions on a four-question survey, but this survey is available to you on the City Life app. Also, if you're online, one of the people who's online host is going to put a link out there for you to be able to take the survey as well. But this survey, again, it's four questions. It's anonymous, so I won't know who sent them in. And I just want you to tell me kind of where you are and what your feelings are, what your thoughts are about the Holy Spirit. Because one of the most requested topics of information for more understanding that I get from people is questions about the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't go to other churches because this is the only one I go to, you know, because I'm here all the time unless I'm out on vacation on a weekend or something. That's very, very rare. But it's my understanding that some churches don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. They don't preach about the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've always wondered why. I think honestly it's because the pastor really doesn't know what to say. But that's a real issue. And maybe if you come from a background like that, you would just like to learn more about the Holy Spirit, who's the third person of the Trinity. Also, there are also other churches that I understand that all they talk about is the Holy Spirit, and there are some questions about sensationalism or extreme fanaticism. So I want us to learn what the Scriptures really say about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, because He is effective, He's in our lives, and we just need to understand how to engage the Holy Spirit at a deeper level, but I need your input. So go to the City Life app and take the four-question survey. Also, you can just click that link that's being posted online. And we have a few weeks here to get that done, but I encourage you to do that today. Try not to do it during my sermon, whatever. Also, yesterday, a couple of people from our church who are just wonderful people who love the Lord, Josh Austin and Andrea Austin, were married yesterday, and we had a great time. Josh is one of our service coordinators. He helps us with so much around here. He's always volunteering and serving with a great heart. God's worked an incredible transformation in his life. And Andrea, who is part of our worship team, and these two people were joined together in holy matrimony yesterday. It was so much fun. So much fun. Well, the title of my message today, is as I'm going through this series in the book of Jonah, is called From Stuck to Unstuck. From Stuck to Unstuck. So this is a continuation of this series. If you missed what I shared a few weeks ago, which is about a 12-minute introduction to the story of Jonah, you really need to listen to that. In fact, I've gotten into the habit of listening to my own teaching on that about once a week, and it reminds me of some of the things, of the historical facts involved in it, the biblical parallels that are spoken of regarding Jonah and the story of Jonah, the book of Jonah, as well as even some scientific facts as well. So there's a lot of evidence that that the story of Jonah is very, very real. And if you want to have a better understanding of Jonah, and which lays a good foundation for this series of messages that I'm preaching, I encourage you to go and to get that, watch that 12-minute thing. And it's right there on the City Life app. It's right there on the news feed. Just look for the one that says an introduction to the story of Jonah. Also, they're putting a link up online so you can go and watch that 12-minute video after the sermon today. You can tune in that way. Also, another thing that I'm encouraging everyone to do is to read the book of Jonah. Now, I've been encouraging you to read it. I've also given you a devotional plan, which is also on the City Life app. It's a 5-day devotional plan to get through the book of Jonah. But I'm encouraging you to read it. But now I'm going to encourage you to do something else with it. I'm going to encourage you this week to read it out loud. I've practiced this, and it works because when you actually read it out loud, you begin to feel the rhythm and the cadence of the author and what he puts in there, and you hear it in a different way as you're saying it. Another thing that I encourage you to do is listen to it. I've done this several times as well. Just use the Bible app and listen to all 4 chapters. It's a very brief book, all 4 chapters of the book of Jonah, because actually, back in Bible times, the scriptures were meant to be read aloud and people would listen. Most people could not read, so they had to hear it. And it just resonates different when you hear it, even having your own voice say it. So I want you to be able to get as much out of that as possible. Well, we know from the story of Jonah that God spoke to Jonah to bring the message of God to the wicked city of Nineveh. And this is a very, very evil city, as you learned about in that, as I shared a few weeks ago. And Jonah really didn't want to go. He thought, this is a bad idea. I don't like those guys. They are evil. They're horrible. I don't want to go there. So what he did is he got on a ship and he started going in the opposite direction to a town called Tarshish, which is at the far end of the Iberian Peninsula, Spain today. And he was going to go as far away from there as possible. Well, in the meantime, he was on the ship. God sends a storm. Through a sequence of events, the mariners throw him overboard. And he goes into the water. And that's where we left off last time. So we're going to pick it up in the story right now. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. And Jonah 1:17 is kind of like an introduction to all of chapter 2. So this is kind of an introduction and summation of everything that's happened in chapter 2. But let's look at it. Jonah 1:17. The Lord designated a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Now look over at Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Now you understand this is his reflection as he has been swallowed by the fish in there for 3 days. So then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord. So he's actually now, if you'll notice, something I caught that I've never seen before. He's now talking in past tense. He's in the belly of the fish, and he's talking to the Lord about what's already happened, because his prayers actually started at when he hit the water. So he says, I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I called for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you threw me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current flowed around me. All your breakers and waves passed over me. This is Hebrew poetry here. So I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The deep flowed around me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I love the texture here of this poetry. I descended to the base of the mountains, the earth with its bars around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, Lord my God, while I was fainting away. In other words, he's about ready to pass out. I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to you. Into your holy temple. Those who are followers of worthless idols abandon their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. And then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. So, Jonah got stuck. And we get stuck also. What causes us to get stuck in life? Well, a lot of times it's no fault of our own. It's the actions of someone else. It could have been an accident. Maybe a lack of wisdom in a certain situation. Disobedience, fear. It could be lack of faith. Even selfishness, rebellion, a failure to even worship and pray and dedicate yourself, devote yourself to the Lord. But whatever the cause, we find ourselves stuck sometimes, and every single one of us go through this. Some of you are there right now. You're spinning your wheels, and you're not going anywhere. You just feel like your energy and your strength is being deleted, and you just feel like you're in total, complete darkness. Well, Jonah was stuck. And the truth is, we're a lot like Jonah. And that's one of the themes of this series, is because we really are a lot like Jonah. I mean, so far, can you relate to the story of Jonah? Because I can. Yeah, see, after he was thrown overboard, Jonah began immediately praying as he was sinking. And the interesting thing about that, I've studied this and thought, what was it like? Because he didn't know anything that was going to happen next. But one thing was for sure, Jonah was no longer in control. He was sinking fast. Kind of like some of you right now, you feel like I am not in control of anything. I feel like I'm sinking fast. And he was going down. And he said this as he was going down. I'm sure he wasn't saying it out loud because he would have ingested the seawater. But he was praying even through his mind. He said, you know, even though I've been cast out of your sight, God, I'm going to look toward your holy temple. See, he's even at that point declaring that he is craving the presence of God as he's sinking. At the same time as this poetic verse here in chapter 2 shows that, I mean, he was encompassed by water, seaweed wrapped around his head, descending to this place that the Hebrews called Sheol. Sheol is this Old Testament Hebrew word, and it means the abode of the dead from which no one can ever return, and that's where he felt he was going. That's where he felt he was. And as he's sinking, he's just thinking, I know it's all over. This is it. Yet, the interesting thing is, while he's in his own Sheol, thinking he's in the place of no return, he's still calling on God. He's looking back and saying, I want the presence of God. Even as death by drowning seemed completely imminent. He was calling out to God, sinking. I mean, just can you imagine holding his breath? And then God answers his prayer, and God designated, and I don't know what that means. I'm not going to try to figure that out, but I'll just take it at its word. God designated a great fish to swallow him. That's when Jonah says, but you have brought up my life from the pit, Lord my God. See, he was sinking down, and he's now in the belly of the fish, and so he's praying to God, well, obviously, God, you've brought my life up. I didn't go down all the way. But then think about it. But wait, he's in the belly of a huge fish. He does not know how the story's going to end. He has no clue how this story's going to end. He just knows this much. I was calling out to God and I didn't drown. That's all he knows. And there he is. I mean, he's in this. Can you imagine what it smelled like in there? I don't even want to think about it. It was dark. I remember there was this children's illustration that we saw in Sunday school, and I remember staring at it. It was a picture of Jonah in this belly of the fish, and he had a lantern with him. Let me tell you, he didn't have any lantern. He was stuck in there, and it was dark. And yet at the same time, we see through this prayer of his, he's rejoicing that he's not dead. He's stuck. Oh, he is stuck for sure, but he's not dead. And again, how many times have you feel stuck and there's just nowhere to go? It's just totally dark. I mean, it could be worse. At least you're stuck. But now what? Now what? Well, it's obvious what Jonah did at that moment. Jonah began to pray inside the belly of the fish. We have just a portion of his prayer and a portion of the reflection of his prayer from when he was sinking. But I tell you what, he didn't have anyone else to talk to. The only thing he could do is talk to God whenever he woke up, fell asleep, woke up. I mean, that's all he could do. And so when you're stuck, get this, all you can do is pray. Really? Now, last Thursday evening, Rebecca and I were driving on some of the back roads of Waxahachie, and I was taking some of my very familiar shortcuts to get down to the place where the wedding ceremony was going to be for Josh and Andrea, and we were going to the rehearsal on Thursday evening. And we passed by this one road as we were on this back road, and I said, "Remember that road?" And Rebecca said, "What road?" I said, "That one right back there." And she said, "No, I don't remember that." I reminded her, that's the road where we got stuck when we were in college. I'll just tell you the story. So one night, I had taken her out for a ride. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and I knew we still had about another hour before curfew. And let me just tell you, you never missed curfew at my college back then. If you missed curfew, which is 11 o'clock, you were dead meat. It would be bad. Bad things would happen to you. But we were going out for this drive, and I was in my nice little hot rod red Mustang. Remember that car? Oh, I loved it. She didn't like it. I loved it. But we were on this road, and just to be honest with you, it was a narrow road. It was a dark road, and it was kind of scary. And to her, not to me, but we were going down this road, and she just said, "You know, this road is where are we. This road's kind of scary and dark, you know. Where are we going?" I was like, "We're just out driving. I mean, hey, I'm a poor college student. You don't go anywhere. You just drive, you know, because, you know, like Dairy Queen costs way too much." So we're driving down the road, and she's like, "I don't like it out here." Okay, great. That's not a problem. I'm trying to impress the girl. So I'll turn around. Now, a U-turn on that little road was impossible. And there were some pretty steep ditches on the other side, on both sides of the road. So I knew I could potentially, if no one was coming, I could see in both directions, no lights coming, I could do one of those, it's called a Y-turn, you know what I mean? And I was been told those doesn't exist. They do. Look in your Texas driver handbook, you'll find it in there. But it's called a Y-turn. And in order to make it out, you know, I had to go forward, and then you have to back up, and then you go forward again, and then you can pull out. And so I was backing up, and I thought, well, in order to make this happen, because I know this car really well, I'm going to have to let the rear wheels of my tire go, the rear wheels go off the edge of the pavement, but that's not going to be a problem at all. Now, of course, this is before the days of front wheel drive. I mean, that car that did not have front wheel drive. But so I backed up, and I knew that my rear tires were off the pavement, but I went a little too far. So when I put it back into first gear, and I was going to use my horsepower to get off the edge, and there was no traction on those rear tires. Nothing happened. See, I had high-centered the car. See, those Mustangs had a low profile. They sat very close to the ground. And I was stuck with this girl in my car that I was trying to impress. And I was so humiliated. I thought, no, she's never going to like me now. I mean, this is, like, I can't believe I just made this mistake. And here we are, stuck, high-centered on this dark, narrow road. And it's about 10:30 at night. And I was like, I don't know what to do here. And I got out and looked, like, yeah, there. I am stuck here. I couldn't push the car. And she couldn't get in the driver's seat to help me out because she didn't know how to drive standard. I'm like, I thought everybody knew how to drive a standard shift, but she didn't. So it's like she had to sit there in the passenger seat. And then she said, "I had just better get back to my dorm before curfew." I'm like, "You're going to get back before curfew." And I just got out of the car and went, "Oh, God, God, help us, help us, help us. God, get me out of this mess. I mean, God, and help me to get out of this mess and help her to still like me. God, I'll worship you. I'll, you know, well, God, just get me out of this mess." And I was standing outside the car at that moment. And then a red pickup truck drove up and kind of, you know, slowed down. He couldn't go much further because I was blocking the road. And they stopped and, like, "Well, there's somebody. I hope this is good. I don't know what's going to happen here." And again, it's very dark. It was pretty dark out there that night, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. And these guys drive up, and two young guys jump out. They're about my age. I thought, okay, you know, that's cool. And this one guy walked out and goes, "Ha, ha, 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 you high-centered your car." Was laughing at me. Good thing is, she was inside the car and couldn't hear me being mocked. I thought, well, that's at least the one positive here. But these two country boys, they jumped out, and they you know, I got in the car, and they pushed, give me a good shove, and pushed the car back, and I got back on the road, thanked them, and I was so very happy. I thanked God with all my heart. She was back on time. I said, see, everything worked out. Yet I was still so humiliated in front of this sweet girl. But I knew one thing. I was now unstuck, and apparently, I found out the next day, she still liked me. In fact, she married me. So what I did is I sold that Mustang and bought an engagement ring for her, and we never went down that road again, all right? But you learn some things, and you can even have some victories when you're stuck. What did Jonah do again? When he was stuck, he just continued to pray. And Jonah thought, I mean, literally, it's all over for me. But what we know, what he didn't know yet, is that God gave him another chance. Just like Rebecca gave me another chance. But seriously, most of us find ourselves stuck in difficult life situations. And maybe you're there right now. What are you going to do? But I want to ask you this. What might happen if you passionately seek God in the middle of your distress? See, our problem is we think we can pull ourselves out of everything, and our pride is too big, and we don't want people in church to know that we're stuck, we're in a bad spot, and we don't want anyone to know we're suffering, and you may not even want your spouse or your family to know that you're really suffering, and you may not even want to call on God. But I tell you what, Jonah did the right thing. Yeah, he messed up pretty bad. He had made some horrible choices. Those choices got him stuck in the belly of that fish, but his response was correct. And God cares more about our response than actually what got us into the mess in the first place. I love it because he passionately sought God. He said this right before the fish spit him out. He said, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I vowed, I will pay. What he did right there is he made two confessions. These were both confessions of worship, that he was going to lift his voice and worship and praise to God and give him thanks, and that he was going to give God his offerings. And I mean, it's pretty smart, yet it's so very simple. You know, why don't we get that? It is extremely effective, and he's worshiping God in the middle of his stuck moment. And then he declared something else. And I think this was the final catalyst. According to the scriptures, that is, because he says, salvation is from the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to praise God and I'm going to give my offerings to him, but I'm doing this because he is the only one who can save me. He is the only one who can get me unstuck. He's essentially saying this, God's mercy is relentless. Kind of like what we just sang a few moments ago. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. It fights till I'm found and leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And as he did with Jonah, God pursues us regardless of what we've done. And that's important for us all to hear. See, God's capacity to forgive and to rescue and to restore is greater than our capacity to sin against him and even run from the call and the mission that's on our life. See, at that moment when Jonah declared those words after 3 days in the belly of that fish. It says, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. That's quite picturesque also. I mean, he's covered in fish vomit, trying to catch his breath. But he's on dry land. I mean, can you imagine what the beachgoers were thinking that day? You know, it's like, whoa, this is a new sight. No iPhones to take pictures with, so they're drawing caveman pictures of it. I don't know. But there's Jonah covered in slime, but he has this new perspective of worship to God, and he's now on his way to preach to Nineveh. Jonah was now unstuck. Here's what we need to do. We need to follow his example. In fact, I ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 6 because this is an example of the type of prayer we can pray to God. We need to be really, really honest with God in our prayers because he can take it. King David wrote this prayer, Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. He's going to read through about half of this psalm. He says, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Obviously, he had done something horribly wrong. We don't know what it is. He says, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am frail. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are horrified, and my soul is greatly horrified. But you, Lord, how long? Return, Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your mercy, for there is no mention of you in death. In Sheol, who will praise you? Again, that's where Jonah thought he was going. I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim and I flood my couch with tears. Hey, church, can we start being real with God? You know, he can take it. And I think being real with God is one of the keys to getting unstuck. And you need to get unstuck. You need to get unstuck. Why? Because we have a job to do, all of us, and because the devil is real. I mean, today, just like it was in the times of Jonah with Nineveh, around us there's demonic activity and it's accelerating at an unprecedented rate. And like Jonah, we can go and run and hide and try to ignore it, but that is going to get us stuck. Why? It's because we are called to make a difference. So if you're stuck, the time is now. To cry out to God and commit yourself to him. It's very likely some of you, you're hearing me, but you actually have been running from God. And you may even be afraid of what might happen if you fully devote yourself and commit yourself to him. But church, I want to be really clear with you. Now is not the time to play games. The world is getting darker and darker. And this horrible darkness, it continues to be revealed and is even more in our face than I've ever seen it in our lives. But you're seeing it with politicians and celebrities and high-profile preachers and ministers. And those things should alert you. Yeah, instead of getting all critical about them, you know, the better thing to do is to look at yourself. Let it alert you to rise up and cry out to God and to walk in your personal calling. Now is not the time to be living with one foot in and one foot out. Now's the time to rise up and get up and to call on God. Worship him and get yourself unstuck. If God be for us, who can be against us? Confess your past. Let the past be the past. For God's mercy is relentless. He loves you more than you can comprehend. The gospel is clear. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone, can you say everyone? Everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He loves you. He wants everyone to have eternal life. Yes. And if you've not given your life fully to Christ, let me just make it clear, you must be born again. Jesus said in John 3:3, he said, unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You might say, well, I'm a good person. I do good things for others. I mean, I did trash on the city's trash pickup day. I cleaned up some people's yards, and I go, good. Yay. You know, I'm proud of you. That's great. I like doing stuff like that. I like to clean up the neighbor's yards around downtown here. I like doing it. But being a generally good person is not going to get you into heaven. We've all sinned, and we all need Jesus. I mean, you might say, I don't break the Ten Commandments. Well, have you dishonored your parents anytime in your life? Oh, you've broken the Fifth Commandment. Have you ever had lust in your heart? Let me tell you, you have actually broken the Seventh Commandment. Have you ever taken an ink pen from your workplace and took it home and made it your own? You have now broken the Eighth Commandment. Now, you can have City Life pens all you want. Those are free for you. Don't get stressed. But if you work here, you can use them too. All right. But have you gone through a week and worked every day and you didn't spend any time in rest or in God's presence? Well, my friend, you have broken the Fourth Commandment. Have you been angry at someone to the point where you told them you're just good for nothing? You're such a fool. Well, you have actually broken the Sixth Commandment. Have you ever craved and coveted something that belongs to someone else and wanted something just like that for yourself? You have now broken the Tenth Commandment. I could go on and on and on, and that's all sin. But the scriptures are clear. The soul that sins will die. And the only way out is to be born again. How do we do this? Well, we individually have to take the initiative to make things right with God. He's already done his part on the cross, so I'm encouraging everyone, get your life right with God today. Let him get you unstuck. And if you've already been born again, wonderful. But you might be stuck right now. You might be in a season of despair. But in your season of despair, lift up your eyes to Jesus and begin to call on him. That is the key. That is what began to initiate him getting out of that ugly, dark place of where Jonah was stuck. I mean, Jonah, think about it. He literally plunged to a certain death, and he was returned to life. And this all happened after he was called by God and began to worship him. In fact, in the belly of the fish, he made a fresh commitment to God. I like that. Church, I think sometimes, even as believers, we need to make fresh commitments to God. I mean, he still had 3 days and three nights to stay in that, stuck in that fish's belly. And I actually believe that God allowed that. God allowed that as time to work on Jonah's heart. See, as we learned a few weeks ago, Jonah was already a man who feared God. We learned that he was a mighty prophet of God, but his heart was in the wrong place. And it took him getting stuck for 3 days for God to change him. Here's the truth. Because we all do get stuck. God may have allowed you to get stuck so he could work in you. And during your dark times, I think the best thing that you can do is examine yourself. Ask what God is saying to you. Get into the word and let it speak to you. Listen to him. Worship him even though you don't feel like it. You might even be mad at God. Just worship him anyway. Pray. And if you're stuck, the time is now to cry out to God and commit or recommit yourself to him. Do it now. Don't delay. Salvation, like Jonah said, is for now. He needed salvation, and it wasn't getting saved. It was like he was getting rescued. And I believe that there are some of you who need to recommit yourself to him, just like Jonah did. Freedom and deliverance from the belly of your fish is now, not tomorrow. Our theme scripture for this year is this, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is a favorable time. God, it's just massaging this word now into our hearts over and over and over. And I want to say it is up to you. You make the choice. And if you're not walking in your calling and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're not making Jesus known, let me just make it really clear. You're missing it. You're missing it. And what's going to happen? And I just say there's love, but I want you to understand how it all works, is you're just going to continually find yourself angry and frustrated, stressed out, anxious, alone, in despair, at odds with the people that you love the most, and you will be stuck. So my challenge today is follow the example of Jonah, who happens to be one of my favorite Bible heroes. Here's how to do it. To get unstuck. Repent. Pray. Worship. And declare your obedience to God. That's what Jonah did. In fact, some of you may just take a picture of that and save that for yourself today. Get unstuck. Repent. Pray. Worship. And declare your obedience to God. Before we move into water baptism, I want us to pray. In fact, I'd like for nobody to be looking around right now. And I'm just going to ask that if you're here this morning and you are not serving God, you are not born again, you must be born again. And Jesus said it himself. There is no other way. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to know who you are. I want you to lift your hand in just a moment because I want to pray with you. I want to believe God for salvation in your life. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to count to three. I'm going to say one, two, three. It makes it real simple and easy. Just lift your hand up so that I can see your hand. I'm going to connect my faith with yours, and then we're going to pray together. So before we do anything else, let's just do that. Do you need to be born again? Just lift your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Lift it up for me. Thanks. Put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray these words with me. Church, I want you to pray it as well. And as you pray these words, congregation, even if you're already saved, do this as a recommitment of your faith and as an encouragement to these who are about to be born again. Everyone pray these words. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your precious blood. For today I give up my past and I embrace the future that you have for me. I receive your Spirit into my life. Flood me with your presence and work on me to make me a different person. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want us to continue to pray. In fact, as we continue to pray, water baptism candidates, go ahead and prepare. But I want everybody else, your eyes focused on the Lord right now. Focus internally. What is your situation? What did God convict you of today during this message? Whatever God convicted you of, that wasn't just me, that was God speaking to you. You were actually sensing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't want us to pray. I'm just going to lead us in. I'm going to just give you some prayer points, but you're going to need to pray on your own. I want you to pray on your own. Just ask God. Some of you, you're stuck. Just ask God to help you get unstuck. Just pray right now. God, get me unstuck. Get me unstuck. Just repent. Repent of any sin, any stuff that's holding you back. Some habits, lifestyles. Some direct disobedience to God. Just repent. Repent of just being a nominal Christian, kind of existing and not following the call of God. Repent. Now just begin to pray and worship God. Tell him that you love him. Say, God, I love you. In spite of the dark places, in spite of being stuck, I love you. I will give my praise to you. I'll lift my voice up in thanksgiving to you. to you, Jesus, to you, Jesus. And now as you're praying, I want you to begin to declare your obedience to God. Just tell God, God, I'm going to obey you. God, I will. I will obey you. I will obey you. Now, please understand, no one can do that perfectly, but you got to start somewhere. God, I'm going to obey you. I will obey you. I'm going to follow your voice. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Spirit. I'm going to let the Word of God speak to me and change and transform me. Let it be in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be unstuck in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to the City Life Church podcast. I would love for you to attend one of our worship services right here in downtown Fort Worth. So if you'd like more information, simply go to citylifefw.org. God bless.